Help us take your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. Lord, mold us into the likeness of Christ this morning. Change us from the inside out, God. Have your way in our hearts this morning, Lord. We want to yield to you. We want to surrender to what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we worship you this morning. You are always faithful, faithful to work in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Lord, we give you all the glory. Just be with us and guide us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue in Ephesians this morning, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Not only as we continue this, and Matt Gray for Bob in Southwest Virginia leads some teams, disaster relief working there. Just continue to pray for him throughout this week. Make sure if you get an opportunity to stop by the, I think it's 3:30 today. Cam and Morgan in Bayshire today, and the fellowship hall right over here, so you can stop by there at 3:30 before the shower. Celebrate. Come to work with this child. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6. Last 2 weeks, we have learned about a root issue behind the spiritual warfare that wages on every day in our lives. We have unmasked the enemy, and we learned about his battle plans. We learned about God's glory, that God is worthy of all glory. He is creator, he's sustainer of all things. He is the Almighty, he's the everlasting, he's the one true God, and the only Savior of the world. Think about that just for a moment. Let that sink in. The world really could not contain the books necessary to write down all that God is and all that he has done that makes him so worthy of all glory. Because he desires to be glorified, we also learn that Satan desires to steal God's glory. See, he wants to gain here on earth what he could not gain in heaven. He wants to keep people in bondage to their sin. He wants to keep people from seeking after God and his forgiveness and his life. He wants to tempt God's children in ways that make them ineffective in God's plans and purposes. He wants to use us to steal God's glory. Last week in God's word, he revealed to us the truth about our enemy. The enemy is a liar, and he works to deceive us and bring about doubt in our minds about God's truths. He uses his go-to battle strategies to tempt us, as we learned about last week. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, lust of the eyes. But in Christ we have victory over our enemy. It's why we're going to be in Ephesians this morning, because Ephesians teaches us so much about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Spiritual blessings that God has given us in order to live a victorious life here on earth right now. Here at the end of this letter, we learn about the spiritual blessings we have in Christ that protect us from the enemy and help us stand strong against him. And here in this passage, he reveals the power and the provision that God has given his children. It's so exciting. But the sad thing is, happens when Christians don't know about or refuse to use the powerful God-given provisions and therefore walk through life as if they're defeated or as if they're still on the losing side. Christ has defeated Satan and death, and he's won this victory, and this victory is ours through faith in Christ. Now all of this battle moves on every day. Even though Satan works in the world around us to deceive us and corrupt us, we learn from God's word that in Christ we have divine power to overcome all of Satan's lies and all of his deception. I mean, who emerges victorious is not at stake. Jesus secured his victory for us. What's at stake are the souls of men, women, and children from every nation, tribe, people, and language. What's at stake is your life filled with blessings and victory versus a life filled with chaos and pain and suffering. We will see in this passage this morning that we have victory in his might. It's by his power that we stand against the enemy. Therefore, the first thing we're going to learn this morning is to stand strong in the strength of God's power. To stand strong in the strength of God's power. Look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Here Paul exhorts us to be strong, to be strengthened. Now, can we ourselves be strong enough to fight this enemy? Can we just muster up the strength within ourselves as the world would teach us to battle against Satan? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. See, the power we need does not come from our own human strength. This power comes from the Lord alone. He says to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Only in His power are we able to stand strong against the enemy. We are weak in the flesh. We are prone to sin in different ways. In other words, Jesus taught us about the nature of our hearts. If you remember Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Listen to the nature of our heart. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. See, our hearts, without the rule and reign of Christ, will bring about all sorts of sinful issues. Therefore, in our own strength, we cannot fight the enemy. We will only fall prey to his schemes and become a casualty of this spiritual war. The strength of power we need is found in Christ alone. Because it is spiritual power that we need, not fleshly power. Spiritual power we need to fight this spiritual battle. Therefore, the first thing we need to understand then is who we are in Christ. I think, well, what does that have to do with this? See, we need to know what our spiritual position is. And he teaches us a lot about this in the first two chapters of this letter. And this is important because we need to know our spiritual position before we can understand our spiritual power. We have union with Christ. Through our faith in Him, we have been reconciled to God. What was broken by sin has been restored through our faith in Christ, in His death and resurrection. And in Christ, you are a new creation, He says. You have been born of the Spirit. You're now full of God's power. Your old life is passing away. Your new life in Christ is being built up. Your old ways of life are being put to death. They're dying out, and Christ has given you a new nature that desires and walks in the ways of God. God is molding you, slowly molding you more and more into the likeness of Christ. See, He daily is faithful, as we say, to daily work out this process of sanctifying us from the inside out. This is the truth about God's children. This is the truth. Your new identity is in Christ and what He says about you. Not what you used to be. Not what you think about yourself. And not what your past failures tell you. Not what other people say about you or don't say about you. Not what the world wants you to think about yourself. It's now all about what Jesus says about you. It's now all about what Jesus says about you. He says that in Him you are completely forgiven. That your record of sin has been erased. And there's no longer any condemnation on you. Those who are in Christ. There's no longer any condemnation on you. You're no longer a slave to sin. You have great purpose and value in God's eyes. You are loved by Him. In such an extraordinary way. You have value in His eyes. You are secure in His hands for the rest of eternity. Nothing can take you out of His hand. You are a child of God, and He has great plans for you. You see, He wants to accomplish great and mighty things for you. This is the truth about those who are in Christ. This is the truth. This is God's word. This is what He says about you. And because our identity and significance is found in Christ alone, we have all the power needed to win this spiritual battle, to defeat the enemy's deceptions in our lives. This is the truth about your new identity in Christ. And you need to know that. You need to understand your identity. You need to find all your significance in Christ, and not what the world tries to give you or tempt you with. It has to be in Christ. If it's in your spouse, if it's in your children, if it's in your job, if it's in material possessions, if it's in anything else, then it's in the wrong place. It has to be in Christ alone. In Christ, we are overcomers. He is the source of our spiritual strength. We strengthen ourselves in Him and His power. And this happens. Guess what? As it always does, this happens as we walk closely with Him and go deeper in our relationship. It's always about that relationship with Him. See, it's in that relationship that we are made strong in Him. He gives us strong faith, strong trust, strong courage, strong endurance, strong hope, and strong love, and so many other things. He is our sufficiency in all things at all times. That means I am. In all things at all times. All the spiritual blessings are yours in Christ. How wonderful is that? How wonderful that God has blessed us with all of this. But not only do we stand strong in the strength of His power, we learn next that we stand prepared in the strength of God's resources. Look there at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Not only does God give us sufficient power and grace in Christ to stand against the enemy, He gives us His powerful resources to daily secure our victory. God has given us spiritual armor that He has clothed us with. Think about armor. As far as the different components of the spiritual armor, we're going to look at those next week. But I want you to notice that He commands us to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Meaning we need all of it, not just some of it, not just a piece of it. Paul here is in Rome. He's writing this letter. He's in Rome. He's in captivity. And he would have had firsthand knowledge of the armor and weaponry that the Roman soldiers used. And this is what he had in mind. The Lord led him to use this analogy of a soldier's armor to compare with the God-given spiritual armor that every single person who is in Christ, who is a follower of Christ, has. A soldier would never go out into battle without suiting up and putting on every piece of his armor. Never. If even one component of his armor was missing, you see, this gives opportunity for the enemy to wound him, possibly bring about serious harm or even death. Even in battle, if you think about war and a battle, soldiers are always looking for the weakness in the armor. The weakness is in the armor of their enemy. So they can try to exploit those weaknesses and gain victory over them. Bring about harm or even death. Do you think Satan's, our enemy, doesn't do the same thing on us? Do you think he's not looking for those weaknesses that we have? Those areas that we do not tend to, that we just kind of ignore. Those things in our life that we try to cover up. That we bury deep down in our hearts. You think He's not looking for those weaknesses to try to exploit that? And bring about ruin in our lives? Of course He is. Just as we know that without God's power, there's no winning this battle. Without God's full armor, there is no defeating the enemy. We will be defeated by His schemes and lies. That this spiritual armor, whether you choose to use it or not, is something that you already have been given through faith in Christ. God gives you this spiritual armor. He gives you this power. Every one of His children, He gives. And He wants to make sure that you have all the help, all the power, all the resources needed to live this victorious life in the midst of this dark and evil world, to be able to stand strong. He commands us here to put it all on. In other words, we put on full armor as we put our faith in Him and what He says about us. It goes back to that. Faith in what He says He has given us. See, this armor is a spiritual reality that we appropriate through our faith in His Word. He says He's given us this power. He says He's given us this armor. We must put our faith in Him. We must put our faith in what He's given us. Again, this is worked out in our relationship with Christ. As we walk with Him and daily yield to His Word, and we daily yield to His leadership, He begins to change the nature of our hearts. We begin to think, we begin to act, we begin to look like Him in all our ways. There's great power, there's great protection in this abiding relationship. Galatians 5:16 comes to mind for me, where He says, when the Holy Spirit has control of your heart and mind. In other words, when Christ has His rule and reign in your heart, He says, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Well, that's an awesome power. That's an awesome blessing. Now, how amazing would that be against the temptations of the enemy? That we will not gratify the desires. Not only is there great power in our relationship with God, there are unlimited resources in our abiding relationship with Christ. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. You see, in Christ we gain access to the riches of His divine resources. Christ, His divine and powerful resources. Think about that. And because of that, we're able to stand prepared in the strength of His resources against the enemy, not our own, His resources. We must put our faith in God and in the resources that He has given us. Now, I want you to also notice that the purpose of this armor is to help us stand against the enemy. To stand. If you know anything about Roman armor, you'll know or you'll see that the twin javelins, long javelins, are missing from this equipment. And those are some of the most effective weapons for gaining ground, for making an offensive attack on the enemy. See, we are not to attack the enemy. We're not to advance against him. We are only to hold, to stand our territory, to hold our territory that Christ and His body has conquered. And think about it this way. As Christ advances His kingdom around the world through His people sharing the gospel with every nation, tribe, people, and language, we are to make our stand and hold the territory that Jesus has conquered. We have what we need in Christ. We just need to walk closely with our shepherd, who is our conquering king, and we need to trust in Him and His resources to win the battle. Not only do we stand in the strength of God's power and resources, but we also learn here that we must stand guard under the leadership of God the Holy Spirit. Stand guard under the leadership of God the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at verse 12 and 13. We're going to see where this, how this plays. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. I want you just to think about that passage. Look at that. Read that. Verse 12 is reminding us again, we've been looking at this, reminding us again of the enemy that we battle against. It reminds us of what kind of invisible spiritual war is raging on around us. It's unseen, but yet we feel the face of the consequences of this war. As we touched on in the last couple of weeks, these forces of darkness are led by Satan. Bob has three names for him. Satan meaning adversary or adversary. He's a devil, which means he's our accuser. He's the enemy of God, the tempter, the murderer, the liar, a serpent. We learned last week he's also called the angel of light. He's masquerading around as the angel of light, as well as the god of this age. Satan leads an army of fallen angels, the wicked host of demons, who are the evil lords, the cosmic powers, the rulers of the spiritual force of evil in the places, as we read here in this passage. We need to remember that our enemy does not fight like a normal enemy. He advances covertly. He does not battle in open warfare, meeting us face to face on the battlefield. He makes his approach in darkness. He employs his strategy of battle in cunning, deceptive ways of betrayal and lies. See, he works under the guise of normalcy and even beauty. He approaches us with recommendations of plausible doctrine and good-sounding philosophies. He lays before us temptations in beauty and allurement. He invites us to pleasures that seem to be harmless, but lead us to indulge until we've gone too far to retreat. He works behind the scenes, sneaking into our lives, undercover in disguise. This is no ordinary enemy. This is no ordinary warfare. We're faced with this every day in our world. Sometimes we're blinded. Sometimes we're so distracted we don't see it. Sometimes we're too focused on other things and we forget God's truth. We forget His promises. We forget to trust and rely on His strength and so we're taking advantage of it. It's why we must always be on guard. Always be on guard. Always be. Always be armed with His power and His resources to meet the attack whenever it comes. Do you understand something? That sounds pretty bad. It sounds pretty evil. But I want you to understand something. Satan in no way measures up to God. It's laughable and conventional. He is a created being, and so are his demons. He's not all ability, he's not all powerful, he's not everywhere present like God. For our sake, God even limited him in one. You must be able to remember that the battle is not one of flesh and blood, it's his name as well. Yes, we face danger in all the people and people in danger. That is for sure, we see that. And there's much more in him through flesh and blood. But what he's saying here is that there's something behind all of this. There's something more sinister and dark at the root of this evil. We're fighting the spiritual war against the enemy of darkness. Therefore, we need this spiritual equipment to fight with. We need the spiritual weapons that God has so graciously given us and clothed us with so that we can stand firm. This passage is reminding us that we need to stand guard at all times. And we learn here that if we're going to stand guard, we must take up the whole armor of God. He says to do all we can in Christ to stand firm. Now, you might be wondering how the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit, comes into this. Well, we can learn this far that we're only able to stand against the enemy by God's power. We're only able to stand against the enemy by His resources. You see, what we sometimes forget is that God, the Holy Spirit, and now indwells us plays a huge role in us being able to stand firm, and us being able to be a guard. If we walk with God, God the Holy Spirit brings all of this about. He makes all of this possible. You see, He's the one who works in us to empower us. He's the one that works in us to give us greater understanding of His Word, illuminating His Word, His truth, so that we can understand it, so that we can cling to His truth and not fall prey to the enemies of the past. He's the one who takes God's Word and changes, uses it to change us into the likeness of Christ. He's the one that brings about spiritual fruits within our lives. God, the Holy Spirit, helps us use this spiritual armor that He has in Christ. He's the one who helps us stand firm in our faith, believing what God says rather than what the world says. He's the one who helps us stand guard and be alert to the enemy's attack. He's the one who gives us wisdom to see the enemy coming, to recognize his deception in the world around us. And so you might wonder then, so what's the problem? If God, the Holy Spirit, who now dwells me as a child of God, is there to help me with all of these things, then why is it so hard for me to fight this spiritual battle? Think about that question for a moment. Here's the problem. human beings, we don't want to submit to anyone. We don't want to take orders from anyone. We want to lead our own lives and do our own thing. We want to be the captain of our ship. We want to call the shots every single day. That's the problem. We want to lead our own way. And we think we know best how to live our own lives. You see, in order for us to take advantage of the full power that God has placed in us, we must surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Surrender, yield to His leadership. His guidance, he calls the shots, right? We have to surrender. Again, this comes back to the daily time that we spend with the Lord. We must daily yield to Him. Let him take control. We must stop resisting what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Thinking we know best. Thinking that's not very important. I mean, that's just a small sin. There's a way that seems right in man's eyes, in the end it leads to death. We must stop resisting what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in our lives and walk in obedience to God. If you want to win this battle, this daily battle, yield to God, His leadership in your life. And remember when you came to faith, He's supposed to be Lord of your life. That's what coming to faith is. We recognize, hey, I'm going this way, and all of a sudden, I recognize that I have sinned in my life. God's truth, God's word, tells me that. And finally, I humble myself and I acknowledge I'm a sinner. And I realize His truth says my punishment is death. And I will forever be separated from God in a place of pain and suffering. Ever. And I recognize from His truth that Christ is the only way. That He came and died on the cross. And I believe that. I believe who He is as God. And who He came to die on the cross and shed His blood for my sin. I believe that He rose from the grave. And therefore I turn to Him and I ask His forgiveness. And I surrender my life. It says you must believe that He must be the Lord of your life. And so I believe in Him. He's now Lord of my life. He calls the shots. No longer me. It's Him. He is in control of my life now. I've forsaken that, turned away from that old life, turned away from that sin, truly repented, turned to Him, and He now leads my life. I walk and follow Him according to His terms rather than my terms. He becomes Lord of my life. We do that once and for all when we come to Christ. But yet, every day, we must yield. We must surrender to His leadership in our lives. The days are evil, and the enemy continues to wage war. But remember, Romans 8:31 states, if God is for us, who can be against us? See, if it is by God's power that we fight with, who can stand against Almighty God? His word tells us no one can. No one can stand against Almighty God. We know from God's word that no one can. God's given us everything we need to stand and fight the enemy. We must stand strong in His strength and His power. Not alone. Don't rely on your flesh. Trust in His power and His strength. We must stand prepared in His powerful resources. Put your faith in what He says He's given you. The full armor of God. Not just a piece of it. We need to work it, putting our faith in all that armor. All His provision. Surrendering our lives. We must always stand guard under the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit. He leads us, not us. He leads us. He calls the shots. Every time you want to go your own way, you're rejecting the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Every time you think in your own wisdom, yes, I think I know what's best. It just seems right for you to make this decision. If it's not made by the wisdom of God's word, and as you seek His guidance under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you might be making the wrong decision. You have to surrender to Him and His leadership so that we can stand guard. If not, we're kind of walking around in our own strength, and we're not going to notice the temptation that's going to sneak up on us. We're not going to notice the distractions that He's putting in our lives. We're not going to notice the deception of this plausible doctrine that he's given us as we begin to believe all these little quotes we read on Facebook and social media. That becomes our doctrine. It trumps the truth of God's word. We start to live by these terms and we get fooled. If you're not surrendering under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to lead you by His truth, it's so easy to fall prey to this deception. It's so easy to become a casualty of war, this spiritual battle. This is real. This is real. There's a lot of things in this world. There's all these movies and things you can watch. They try to make it look real. This is real. There's evil. There's darkness. Led by Satan, who is our enemy. He wants, he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Yet God has given us everything in Christ. All the power we need to stand. All the resources we need to stand. And he's even come to live in us, filling us, leading us, guiding us. He is Lord of our life. We must surrender to his leadership. As the worship team comes, take this time to listen to what God is laying in your heart. Listen to him. Don't reject, don't oppose what God the Holy Spirit wants you to do in your life. Yield to the Lord's leadership in his heart and mind. Let him have his way in your mind. If we fight with the spiritual power and weapons that God has given us, there's no reason that we should be seen by him. We have victory in Christ. And my prayer is that each one of us in this body will experience his victory today and every single day. God's given us everything to experience that victory. We're not on the losing side anymore. We're on the winning side. We have victory. We will be with God forever. No matter what this world throws at us, all the pain, all the suffering, all the trials cannot be compared to the glories of heaven, our reward that we will all one day receive. We have it all.